Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Disneyland celebrates American independence, Pirates of the Caribbean is back and looks great,
the re-theme of Splash Mountain gets a name, new villains coming to Oogie Boogie Bash, we talk about the new Disney Wish cruise ship, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Well, hello there. Welcome to our unbirthday party. For your safety, please be sure to stay listening with your hands, arms, feet, and ears inside the podcast. And please, do give Peg and Teresa easier trivia questions. Well, it seems DL Weekly is about to begin. Have a most wonderful time. Perhaps tea time.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of July 6, 2022. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. Thank you to Stacey S. and Megan G. for becoming official weekly tiers on our Patreon. Our supporters get some pretty fun perks like DL Weekly swag, bonus content, and access to our Discord community. If you'd like some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to join the community.
Back in episode 222, we spoke with Debbie and Steve with Designer Park Company about their new rope drop bag that has launched, and in fact, they are coming out with round two of colors right now. So if you've been wanting to get one of these park goer bags for yourself, or if you want to add a new color to your already growing collection, be sure to use our promo code DLWeekly to get 10% off your purchase at designerparkco.com. Also, big news, the Master Gracie, or the men's or unisex, or the larger version of the bag, however you want to describe it, they're calling it, though, the Master Gracie, is launching soon. They just sent an email out, if you are on their email list, showcasing this new bag. We're very excited about it. But yeah, so same thing with this one. They're going to do a pre-sale, and then as soon as the bags are in hand, they get them right in the mail right to you. They're hoping to have the bags, I think it was sometime in July. So end of July is when they're hoping to have the bags to them and then get them out right away. So if you need a bag for D23 or for Oogie Boogie Bash, the Master Gracie will be available. So again, remember to use code DLWEEKLY to get 10% off your order.
Well, we have some details about our D23 meetup. Of course, we will have a weekly tier meetup at the Disneyland Hotel at the Fireplace near Trader Sam's on Saturday, September 10th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. If you can stop by for any amount of time, please feel free. We will also be at the Expo the entire weekend, so if you see us around, please come up and say hi.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, Monday was the celebration of American independence in the United States, and Disneyland joined in as always. Two military bands were on hand to entertain guests. The California Army National Guard 40th Infantry Division Band from Los Alamitos, California, and the 1st Division Marine Band from Camp Pendleton in San Diego, California, who are renowned for their musical excellence, played in the parks July 2nd through the 4th.
I think that's so fun. I did see a little complaining, I guess, online that the fireworks show, the special fireworks show, they have in previous years done through the full weekend. The fireworks only happen, though, on July 4th. But I think it's really fun and really cool that they had all these special bands, not to mention so the ones that Tag just mentioned. But remember, the All American College Band is also there. So if bands are your thing, now was a perfect time to be enjoying them at the parks. I think that's so fun. We love live entertainment at the parks. So I think this is cool to have outside live entertainment come and entertain at the parks as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said last week, I think it was, I love marching bands and stuff. So being able to see these, of course, they're there in their full military uniforms and everything, looks super snazzy. So very cool. If anybody was there for that weekend and got to see it, I'm sure it was amazing.
Psst, avast there. Pirates of the Caribbean has returned at Disneyland. The entrance queue that was completely rebuilt looks nearly identical to what was there before. The two new trees are smaller than the old ones, and there's been new lampposts that have been added to brighten up the queue area, but those are really the only noticeable difference. One cool thing, too, along with the lampposts, there are lamps hanging in the new magnolia trees. I think that's going to look pretty darn cool at night. Or inside, the attraction has been brought back to its former glory. All the lighting, audio, and animatronics are working properly.
So I had to watch a video of this. I do want to say, although the script says the animatronics are working properly, Jack Sparrow at the end still does not look like he's moving his mouth too much.
No, he doesn't. I didn't watch videos, but photos I saw, he had the same, like, basically the same expression. I'm like, Give Jack some love.
He
needs some help. He's drank a little bit too much rum, and he's enjoying his gold at the end a little too much. That made me very sad. I'm going to have to watch a couple different videos because my other big concern was the turntables.
Oh, I listened. I didn't hear anything.
You can't hear it? Good.
No.
Good, good.
When I was writing this story, I was like, let's make sure the turntables look good. I went, and I turned the volume way, way up, and I was listening, and I didn't hear anything.
Good.
I did think that the audio from the animatronics sounded better because, like, you could clearly hear what they were saying.
Good.
There was one, other than Jack's mouth not being a little weird, was the part of the three singing guys with the donkey, his arm
hand.
Still looks funny.
Yeah.
So, but other than that,
I noticed that.
It's great. I hope that, the final scene, all of the like shooting effects and things are working again. So that was great.
Oh, thank goodness. I was really excited, really, really excited that, again, this is so goofy. You guys know how excited I was about the trees and that they replanted the trees. These trees are magnolia trees, so they bloom with these beautiful white flowers. They are blooming now. But I just thought the addition of having the lanterns in the trees as well is just going to look so, so magical.
Oh, yeah.
And so cool at night. I'm excited to see it and experience it ourselves.
I know one thing you were very excited for was they have the cobblestones back in there.
They do.
And so it's not like the plain, weird
they
pavement
do.
And all of the rest
yes,
of the place.
Yes, I'm very excited
They just
about
need
that.
To stretch that to the rest of New Orleans Square and we'll all
you
be
know,
happy.
So while we're on that. So I was actually looking at photos, watching some video. With the walls down, I don't feel as bad about it because the cobblestone look is along the building. So it's almost like a sidewalk.
Okay.
And then like the street kind of area is the like textured cement, we'll
call
it.
But what about the cobblestones that are along the riverfront?
Oh, that's a different story. I'm talking about in New Orleans Square.
Okay.
It's still got more. If you go a little bit further inside of New Orleans Square, it has more of the charm that we were
used
to.
So you're a little bit better with it
now. I feel, yes, slightly better.
Okay.
But we still need some pavement improvements.
Gotcha. Well, there is finally a name for the retheming of Splash Mountain along with a timeline. Tiana's Bayou Adventure will be opening in late 2024 at Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. No closing date was announced yet, but we would guess sometime next year.
The other really exciting thing, too, so they announced all of these things. Oh, gosh, where are they? Oh, there it is. They were revealed at the Essence Fest in New Orleans over the weekend. So they showed, of course, like the name, as Tag said, but they also kind of showed what the artwork for the name will be, like for like the sign. I think it's really well done. Very beautiful.
I don't remember if it was in our chat or somewhere else, but somebody was saying that they like typography. It was in our chat, I think. And they love this one.
It's so cool because it reminds, somehow the letters themselves remind me of lily pads. If you haven't seen it yet, of course, there'll be a link in our show notes. But somehow, the font reminds me of lily pads and the coloring. I think it's really, really beautiful and really well done. The other fun teaser sneak peek we got is we get to see some new concept art of Tiana's Bayou outfit. So, of course, she can't wear her big ball gown when she's in the Bayou, nor can she wear her the other outfits we saw her in the movie were more of her work clothes.
Sure.
So she's got her new Bayou outfit, and it's very, very cute.
You know what's funny? So they showed this new outfit off, but if you look at the concept that they originally released a while ago, she does have an outfit, but it's not quite the same
not
as what they
the
showed.
Yep, exactly. Not quite the same. But the creative team, this isn't a Mice Chat article, of course. It'll be linked in our show notes. But they wanted it to appear that she felt at home in the Bayou as much as she felt at home in her restaurant. So they wanted her look to reflect that and just be a compliment to the story setting. So they took special care when designing a cut. They took special care for not only the outfit, but also her hair and style.
Sure.
And I just think it's so cute. She looks amazing. She looks just so great. Just great.
I just hope that they spend the amount of time and attention on the attraction as they did on the logo, because I want it to be great.
And the other thing, too, that I wanted to mention, which I think is so cool, because attention to details, Disney. You're just so good at it. So the design process did involve research into fashion trends of the 1920s. So they were trying to make sure that her look matched the time period that the movie's in, which I think is so cool that it's her outfit's also historically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Oogie Boogie Bash tickets went on sale last week and are already sold out for the season. This is crazy to me. They went on sale Tuesday for Magic Key holders, and then they went on sale to the general public on Thursday. And as we record this, Monday the 4th, they're already gone. I think they may have even sold out. I think they were sold out yesterday even. That was like record fast. Mm-hmm. Of course, we all know Oogie Boogie Bash is very popular. But yeah, record fast. It is possible that Disney could add more dates, but nothing has been announced as of yet.
Yeah, so what's interesting to me is there's a Halloween party out in Florida, and a lot of their dates have not sold out yet, but Oogie Boogie Bash has. Now, I will say, I've said it on the podcast before. You've heard about it when we went last year. I'm a huge fan of the Oogie Boogie Bash. And other than the fact that there is a Sanderson Sisters show,
yeah,
I really do think that ours, like, there's nothing that the Magic Kingdom has on us, except for they start a lot earlier and they seem they have a lot more dates. So I do want to see either more availability released for these nights, or I want to see more dates added, but we'll have to see.
The thing that's also interesting is you will find out why I have been watching extra YouTube videos this week, but I've been seeing all sorts of advertisements for the Magic Kingdom's Boo Bash. Yes. So they're like trying to get people excited about it to sell more tickets, whereas Oogie Boogie Bash, they're almost like, shh, pretend you don't see it because we don't have enough tickets for everyone. But I mean, no surprise. I was surprised it sold out this fast. I feel like it sold out faster this year than it had in previous years.
What was the ticket buying experience like for you? Because you bought the tickets.
Oh, yeah. So I bought the tickets during the pre-sale for Magic Key holders. Super smooth. Really not bad at all. I somehow managed to not have to wait too long. I want to say I probably waited in the virtual queue for 30-ish minutes.
That's not bad.
The only issue I encountered, I think, was, of course, it never is smooth. Never. Never is smooth sailing. But there was some, I had some sort of issue when I went to purchase that for some reason, manually entering any card, didn't matter which card I chose, wasn't processing. So thankfully they also have the option that you can use your PayPal, so I was just able to use my card through, don't ask me why that worked, use my card through PayPal that I couldn't manually enter in. So I feel like that was some sort of system hiccup thing. No issues. Thankfully I didn't have a zillion charges on my card from all of the attempts that I was trying to do. I didn't have any pending charges that I needed to wait or anything like that.
So
other than that, it was fine, but I was able to get that taken care of and done within the time frame. So I think it went really smooth.
Awesome. Well, two new villains have been teased to be coming to the immersive treat trails this year for the Oogie Boogie Bash. There's a lot of speculation online, but spoiler alert, if you don't want to know and you want to be surprised, skip ahead for a little bit because we're going to talk about who we've like deciphered that these people are. It looks like Madam Mim, which I know you're very excited about, Teresa, and Mother Gothel will be joining the existing villains of the party in the beginning. We thought the candles were the Sanderson sisters, but they said two, and then there was a whole thing where somebody, Kate, I think, or one of the Weekly Tears, posted like an animated thing showing Mother Gothel was putting out three candles, and that was the teaser.
So, but there was a couple things. So, I was...
Because you were trying to decipher this.
I was a crazy person.
You know.
Yeah, I was a crazy person. I watched it, and I didn't quite understand what I watched the first time, so I rewatched it again. The second time...
Didn't you watch it without sound the first time, too?
The first few times, because I was at work when I was watching it. So, the first few times I watched... I watched it too many times. We're not going to go on record how many times I watched it, because it was too many. Too many. It was a crazy person amount. No, it wasn't that bad. But first couple of times I watched it, you're right, no sound. And the first couple ones I saw... The link that we have in the show notes for you for the Twitter, the video quality is better. The first one I saw maybe was on Instagram.
And they cropped it.
But it was much darker, too.
And
it was cropped. And you couldn't see the background as well. So people were trying to decipher what was going on in the background, plus the foreground. So Madam Mim, I feel like I knew right away, because I, as some of you may or may not know, obsessed. She is one of my favorite villains.
She's been playing this character in the Villainous game, too.
Yes, she's my favorite character in Villainous. I think she's so I think she's just ridiculous, and that's why I love her. And I just, she's got some of the funniest little lines. Anyways, underrated character, in my opinion. If you have not seen Sword in the Stone, please do yourself a favor and watch it just so you can introduce yourself to Madame Mim. But I spotted that right away. But I was wavering. I was thinking the three candles, because there's also singing that goes along with the visuals.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen, if you watch the first half, it's a teapot with a flower in it that withers.
Yep.
And then if you listen really carefully, you can hear a Madame Mim's cackle.
Yep.
As that scene closes. So that one, I'm like, sold. It's Madame Mim.
Yep.
And then the second one, though, I was wavering, because three candles, three Sanderson sisters.
Right.
There's also this kind of like operatic, like female voice that's singing in the background. So I felt maybe that could represent Sarah.
Yeah.
So then I was like falling off my chair thinking, not only were we going to get Madame Mim, but the Sanderson sisters were going to be a treat trail. And I decided, yes, they said two villains, but they may have just meant two treat trails. So all three sisters would be at one treat trail. So this could possibly do it. But when I watched it again, watched it for the, we're not going to say how manyth time, and listened to the song again, it's Mother Knows Best is what they're like humming or singing or, you know, whatever. It's a kind of like an eerie, slowed down version of Mother Knows Best.
Yep.
So, yeah. So we're pretty certain.
I really thought Sanderson Sisters, because the movie's coming out at the end of September. So it'd be a perfect tie in with Disney Plus.
There's still time tag. The World of Color show is not coming back. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that means they need that space for some other reason.
I mean, I would die.
That space is a very... They've had stages in front of the World of Color Lagoon before.
Stop whipping me into a frenzy.
I'm whipping myself into a frenzy.
Well, you're staying pretty calm whipped into a frenzy.
I'm trying to... I'm breathing exercises, Steg. But it was funny because I was saying... I'm dying. Like, Madame Mim, I'm dying. I was just dying for that. And then
you like Mother Gothel, too, don't you?
Not as much. Yeah, I do. But she's...
Sure.
I like her, but she's not a, like, kind of, like... I'm excited to go see her. Kind of... It was kind of like Sid. Like, I was really excited to see Sid, but it wasn't like I wanted to camp out...
Sure.
...and hang out with Sid all night. Madame Mim, I would want to camp out and hang out with her all night. And... the Sanderson sisters, I would want to camp out and hang out with them all night. So I was feeling very torn. If both of them were going to be there, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do.
So is Madame Mim going to be a face character?
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll be a face character.
Now, I will say, Mother Gothel, the only reason I feel like I know really much of anything was when we were there last time and we saw the Tangled show in the Fantasyland Theater. I loved the narrators being Mother Gothel back and forth. So,
oh, yes, yes. I do think she's fun. I do. Don't get me wrong. No, there's no hate for Mother Gothel. I just, when I was thinking it was Sanderson sisters,
well,
then I'm like,
yes.
Oh, okay, Mother Gothel. You know, it just,
yes.
I mean, it's Sanderson. Do you think we're adding two more treat trails, or do you think we are replacing two treat trails?
Well, what treat trails would we be replacing?
Well, I'm wondering. So last year they introduced Sid, Agatha, and Cruella.
Mm-hmm.
And we already had from before Maleficent, the Mad Hatter, the Evil Queen.
Sure.
And Oogie Boogie.
Yep.
I'm wondering if we're replacing maybe some of the original characters.
Sure.
Or that's a good point.
So here's the thought.
If it's
in the teaser,
where else would you put these characters?
In the teaser,
they had specific spots.
They had
right.
Carthay Circle, so they'll probably have one on the stage there by the fountain. So that would probably be Madame Mim. And then the other one was like outside of
the
Villains Grove-y kind of area. So I'm wondering if it's going to be kind of by Grizzly River Run at night. Because, well, there is some areas over there they could do some
stuff.
But
Grizzly River Run, behind Grizzly River Run was where the Evil Queen had been.
Right. But you could put another, that's a big space. You could still put somebody else over there. So my thought is that it kind of also teases that. Maybe she'll be in Villains Grove as part of like in Villains Grove. Because there was that section kind of to the side that was cool, but there wasn't like a lot going on. So maybe you put her over there.
I don't know. That's because I
don't tease me, Deanne.
I can't specifically say get rid of like all of the character, all the villains that they originally had and then added last year are really fun. So if I couldn't it'd be really hard to say, eh, get rid of axe this one, axe mm-hmm. that one. But perhaps maybe they're just going to transition to only villain treat trails.
Do you think?
Because there are a couple of treat trails with no villains.
Do you think that they're going to take, maybe as this party grows and they add more stuff, do you think that they're going to take away the attraction aspect of the ticket? Like that they won't have attractions running, but they'll have the party going.
I don't know, maybe.
Because then they could have a ton of people, and then they're still saving a ton of money on labor. Anywho.
All sorts of things.
Lots of speculation.
We're very excited to see how this all plays out.
As long as they don't touch Villains Grove.
I don't think so. However, I am now I've started myself on something.
Uh-oh.
With the fact that there is not a World of Color villainous show. I don't know why
don't
there wouldn't be.
Don't get yourself whipped up. Don't get yourself whipped up.
I'm hoping that may be a sign.
Maybe.
I can't wait. Can't wait. Star Wars fans will have even more lightsaber hilts to add to their collection soon. Starting on July 8th, Plo Koon and Kanan Jarrus hilts will be available. A limited edition of 6,000 Ahsoka Tano hilt sets will be available, but only at Walt Disney World, which features a case that plays Ahsoka's theme song when opened and contains two hilts, like in Star Wars Rebels.
So I'm a little sad that the Ahsoka Tano one is only at Disney World.
But they had it. They had them at land. But just
this,
not.
But not this cool one with the case.
This fancy case one.
So this really cool. I'm glad that they brought the one for Kanan because he of course was in Star Wars Rebels. His is interesting because in the show his split into different pieces that he could put on his belt, so it didn't look like a lightsaber. So I'm almost wondering how that's going to be. And then the Plo Koon one also is in a kind of a cool case, so that's going to be kind of interesting how that comes out. So we'll have to see. There's a lot of, by the way, I think we talked about this before, but one of the hilts that came out was an Emperor Palpatine one, and it was rechargeable. You'd plug in through the USB.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping more of the lightsabers, because one of the things I don't like about my lightsaber is if you leave the batteries in it, it runs the battery down even when you're not having it on. So pro tip for all of those people who own lightsabers from Galaxy's Edge, take the battery pack out if you're not going to use it, if you're displaying them, because it'll just kill the batteries.
This is really interesting to me because it's one of those things. I mean, this is clearly not a collectible thing that it speaks to me. I think they're very, very cool. Super, super cool. But
I almost wonder what your lightsaber would look like if you built one.
Oh, I have no idea. But but the thing that's crazy to me about this, right? These legacy lightsabers, not cheap. And we're getting into very less mainstream Star Wars characters.
No.
I'm saying like your average Joe who's watched Star Wars knows
like
who Luke is, knows who Leia is, you know. The movies. People know the movies. So we're getting into these like other branches of the Star Wars universe that not as many. So I feel like this is not something that's appealing. I think it's cool they're doing it because it's not something that appeals to. It's not like every child's going to want these lightsabers because they may not know who these characters are. But the thing that's crazy, there's a demand for it though. So I think it's. Just imagine, I'm sure there's people out there, and if you are one of these people, please send me photos. I'm sure there's people that have just been building their collection and have all of these they're so cool. Again, not my thing. This is not something that I would collect, but I think it's really interesting and really fun.
Let me see if I can find it on YouTube, on Instagram. One of the guys that I have, one of the guys I listen to a podcast, he's a huge Star Wars and Disneyland fan, and he has all of the lightsabers hung up on his office. He's the one that I was telling you about that goes and like films like an hour worth of just background noise at Galaxy's Edge, like with video, and puts it on YouTube. So he's one of those people you're talking about. If I had the money, I would buy all of them too, because they're kind of cool.
But the crazy thing too is not only are the lightsabers cool and the hilts cool, the cases that they come in are cool. I don't know how. It would be too much. I'm getting anxiety thinking about it. It would be too much for me to do, but because it's all so cool. So
you are getting yourself so wound up
wound
for
up
so many
this.
Things tonight.
Yep.
I just don't know.
It must be the homemade paradise kicking in all that sugar.
Well, speaking of Galaxy's Edge, fans of the coasters from Oga's Cantina can now purchase some more durable versions at Jewels of Bith in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The coasters come in a set of four for $24.99 and are made out of wood that has the design engraved and burned into the coaster. So cool.
So fun. They finally realized, all the people, ourselves included, that were asking, either taking the, like, trying to not use the coasters so they could keep them pristine so you could take them home as a souvenir, or people that were asking for a fresh coaster so mm-hmm. that they could use one and take one home as a souvenir. Disney finally, like, put two and two together there and said, you know what? People like these. I think it's fun.
This just seems like they took way too long to figure this out. Like, yeah. Really? Come on, Disney. You could have been making thousands of dollars off of these things fun. If you would have done it a little bit earlier.
That's okay. I'm glad they did. I think it's fun.
Do you think people will be less likely or more likely now to take the coasters?
They're different. I feel like they're different because these are just, you know, wood. So mm-hmm. it's the natural wood grain plus the darkening from the laser burn, versus the ones that you get have like brown and tan and orange. So they're different.
Okay.
These clearly more durable. You can get these wet and it'll be okay, whereas the paper ones get a little funny after they get wet, but I still think it's fun. Just wanted to give a couple of small updates from around Disneyland. Hyperspace Mountain has gone back into hibernation this week, and the classic version of Space Mountain has returned. Also, the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is reopening on July 25th, so if you and some of your, well, if you are hoping, or if one of your little ones is hoping to have their Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo makeover sometime soon, the wait is almost done. I think the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is so fun. I'm actually almost surprised they don't have some sort of adult version
they
of
should.
It.
I'm telling you, they should, because it is crazy.
It was such an experience. I don't know if you have gone in.
I haven't seen it, but you've told me about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so I went in 2019 when I was there with family. My two little cousins, my cousins' children, so whatever that makes them, but I call them my cousins. They went in and got made up, and it was such a fun and cool experience. I always kind of was like, I don't know, that seems like a lot of money for an updo and some lip gloss, but oh no, it's this really cool experience, and it was really well themed. I just loved all the different details and everything in there. So fun. So I think this would be, you know, they should have an adult version.
Oh, definitely. I also think, I know that they're doing this, but I think even like more, they should do more boy versions
of
things too.
Yep, they do have boy versions.
More though, because there's tons of princesses you can get done, but I think there's only a couple different things you can do.
I think
as a boy.
It's like Prince Philip is what you can
did
do.
You see?
Oh, maybe you can become a pirate too.
Did you see Evan from that we've had on the podcast that his son on one of the cruise ships got done?
Yes.
And he was so happy to be like one of the princes.
Yep, one of the princes, and they give him a sword and a shield.
And he went and took tons of character photos with him and the shield and stuff.
It was adorable.
Yeah. So I, like you said, with the adults version, like, I can see, why don't they have this in Star Wars, like in Galaxy's Edge? Like, can you imagine going in and getting like blue makeup done for your face or green make, you know, it'd be cool. And Space Mountain, I like Hyperspace Mountain a lot. I will miss it, I think, but a lot of people like the classic.
You know,
so
what though, I was actually surprised that Hyperspace was still present, because I was under the assumption that it was just, you know,
through May,
to celebrate May the 4th, and then also the Star Wars nights, which happened in May. So I missed that. I assumed that it had already
They said that there was no end date.
Yeah, I assumed that it already had gone back to the classic. So that's why I wanted to make sure we included that, to let people know that, oh, no. I mean, if you were hoping to, I guess too a little too late, Teresa, because if you wanted to experience hyperspace one more time, it's already
I'm
gone.
I'm sure it'll come back around next year.
100%.
Now, one thing we didn't talk about in the news, but I do want to ask your opinion of, have you seen videos or pictures of the Sub Lagoon? It looks amazing. The water looks so refreshing. It always looks refreshing,
but it looks more so. It looks even more so. I'm sure it has been this clear all the time.
At some point, yeah.
All the time. But it just looks crystal clear. Some of the photos that people have taken from the monorail down into it, I don't remember being able to that vividly see the tracks.
Sure.
Have I seen the tracks before? Yes. But like, it's so clear, it doesn't look like there's water there. It looks so fun. Mm-hmm. And I love Hank. I just love him. Do I wish he did a little something more than just
sit
be
there.
Present? Yes. But I just love his little side glare. I love the pop of color.
Sure, yeah.
Of, you know, his bright, vivid reddish orange against the, like, crystal blue waters. And my other little, like, sad thing, I thought he was, next to...
Oh, no.
The,
seagulls?
The seagulls. So the side eye, I would have made more sense if he was, like, right there. He's kind of on the opposite
yeah.
side of the lagoon from the seagull. So I don't know if the side eye will be as... If that
they'll make the connection,
if the backstory of he's annoyed with the seagulls. I don't
sure.
know if that's going to be as obvious, but for us diehards, we know. I'm also wondering if down the road they don't. I know they can't make him
move,
but I'm wondering if maybe down the road if he'll say stuff too.
Yeah,
right
I do
now,
think I do think I saw this online too. I do think the kinetic energy and everything.
Oh, yeah.
that attraction brings to Tomorrowland is desperately needed.
Psst, avast there. Here comes seeking questions and long-lost Disney information, eh? Sure, you come to the proper place, but keep a weather eye open, mates, and hold on tight with both hands, if you please. There be squalls ahead. And James and Vern waiting for them what don't answer correctly.
Welcome to Trivia Land. Today, hopefully, we're going to cruise through some fun questions and we'll see if it's smooth sailing for the two of you. But before we get into our questions this week, we did get an email from listener Heather G, who has a correction, apparently, for one of our questions from last week about DCA Grad Night. Heather says there might have been, or at least from her experience, there was... a grad night in DCA in 2001 because she got to go to a special party for a few hours on Paradise Pier before going into Disneyland. She doesn't know if it continued on past that, but hey, maybe that is first technical grad night right there.
Mm.
So thanks, Heather G, for the fun story. And as is our policy in Trivia Land, we're wrong probably most of the time, and that's okay. Just kidding. We do our best. It's all fun and games, and let's get to those fun and games with our first question this week from listener Andy M. In the stretching room of the Haunted Mansion, all four portraits show individuals holding things. What is being held in all of the portraits?
Well, there's an axe.
Wait. So.
There's an axe?
Yep. What's her... Is it...
We don't need the names, right? We just need to know what
I just need to know what they're holding.
Okay. An axe,
stick
an umbrella...
Of dynamite?
Stick of dynamite and a suitcase.
Of course, Therese is going to just know this right off the bat.
All right, so I'm going to correct the question based on the answers I have from Andy. In the stretching room, before they start stretching on the Haunted Mansion, all four portraits show individuals holding things. What are they holding?
Oh, so there's a flower, right? Like
yep,
one of the
okay.
chick on the
yep.
chick on the gravestone is holding a flower.
And
still the
umbrella. Yep. Okay, hang on. Umbrella. I'm writing these down. Umbrella.
Is the guy holding a hat? Like his bowler hat?
The one guy's like this.
Holding his
jacket,
or
I guess.
Like, his like lapel. What do you call that, Jay? A lapel?
Like the collar up here?
Collar,
would be a lapel.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
kind of like this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just say jacket.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to think of the three guys.
Like on top of each other?
Mm-hmm.
Sinking in the quicksand? Isn't that the guy holding his lapel? Because the lady on the gravestone is holding the flower.
Yeah.
The lady on the tightrope is holding the umbrella.
Yep. So we've got the guy standing on the dynamite.
What is he doing? Is he the one holding his jacket?
That's the one I thought was holding
okay.
the jacket. But, oh, the one, we'll say hat. The one guy, I think the one guy is like holding his hat that's on his head.
Yeah.
So we'll say
there was
hat
something like
and
that.
Jacket.
There we go.
Lots of items to think about. Question number two this week. What is the significance of the Carthay Circle Theater in Disney history?
Oh, it's where Snow White and the Seven Dwarves movie premiered.
Yep.
I mean, not that specific location. It's based
on the original.
And yeah, it premiered at the actual Carthay Circle Theater.
Yes.
Yeah, if that's right, that would be amazing because there it was in the parking lot and then it went
yeah.
away and came back.
Yeah, right?
Exactly.
All right, our third question this week. What is the name of the short-lived land that included attractions such as Scrooge's Vault and Baloo's Dressing Room?
Oh, this is Disney Afternoon Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
And it was back by It's a Small World.
Yep.
In the Small World Mall area.
And that's why the boats back there were like themed to the gummy bears.
Yep.
And our final question this week from listener Ryan J. In DCA, on the Inside Out Emotional Whirlwind, each ride vehicle is themed to a character from the film. How many ride vehicles are there? And what characters are represented by each vehicle?
So we've got the
main
emotions.
People. So that's
so we've
five,
got
right?
Joy.
We've sadness.
Got sadness. We've got anger, disgust, and fear.
Yep.
Hang on, let me write these down. Anger. There is
bing
a
bong.
Bing bong.
Yep.
And I'm trying to remember, is Riley one of them? Bing bong for sure, because that's the one I always try to ride in. It seems odd that there'd be seven vehicles.
There might be eight.
Then who would the other character be? The worker things. What are those little, like, deep thought workers? The little, like, blah. You don't remember? The ones that
I've only seen the movie, like once, probably, or twice.
The gum commercial. Oh, the unicorn? Dang it, I'm coming up with too many characters.
The unicorn is probably definitely one of them.
The unicorn.
What is her name?
I don't remember. And I'm going to say the deep thought workers. I don't remember what they're called. They're like the little blue blobs.
I don't think the blue blobs are one of the characters, to be honest, but...
Well, if we think the unicorn is...
I do think the unicorn
then
is.
Then I think we need another... I think it's an even number of...
Are you sure?
I feel like it is. I don't know. I don't know.
How many do we have?
Seven now.
Seven? I think we leave it at seven.
No, wait. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So I will say seven, because I don't think the blobby workers...
And Teresa's going with eight?
I guess I'll go with eight. I feel like the blobby workers might be there.
Very good. Well, those are our questions this week. How do you think TNT did? How did you do at home? Do we wish them the best of luck as we move on through this one? Who knows? We'll find out after this week's discussion topic. Bon voyage!
So, this week, we decided, since there's so much excitement, and rightfully so, for... the new cruise ship, the Disney Wish. We wanted to talk with you all about how amazing this boat looks. Of course, we have not been able to go on it ourselves, just putting it out there. But we have been, like, sitting at the... I don't know about Tag. I've been sitting at the edge of my seat. Never have I, like, looked at a cruise and instantly just, like, jaw dropped and felt like I needed to go. But there is something... this ship, forgive me, is magical. There's just something about it, and we are so excited for the crew, for the cast members that are there, for everyone involved that was able to get this, that put the ship together. We are so excited for them all. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the Disney Wish today and how this new amazing ship could be something that you and your family experience at some point.
So one of the things that first of all, we've been seeing stuff on social media and just in general about the Disney Wish for a couple years now, since they announced it. And one of the things that I guess I was not aware of, but have been made perfectly aware of this week, was that this is kind of a departure from what they've done with previous Disney cruise ships. So this is kind of taking a lot of things that they've done and doing it a little differently than they have in the past. So this one is not like the other Disney cruise ships that you may or may not have sailed on or watched videos of or anything like that. So we're going to try to do it by category. There is a ton of things on this ship. We're going to start with just general areas of things like the main atrium area, the entrance area, the theaters and stuff like that. So obviously the first thing that you come encounter with is this huge atrium when you first get on the ship. And all Disney cruise ships have this kind of atrium space that you come into, but this one is gorgeous.
It's like next level. It's themed to Cinderella, but I don't know. It's just the atriums on the other ships. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to knock any of the other ships. I think all the other Disney cruise ships are beautiful, but this one is a couple notches above to me for some reason, maybe because it's brand new and it's shiny. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's just magic, just absolute magic. It's beautiful. Quite honestly, I looked at this And with all of my research that I had been doing when planning our Disneyland wedding, of course, you see other Disney weddings. Getting married on a cruise ship is one of them. And one of the places that you can get married on a cruise ship is in the atrium. Oh. And kind of all the other atriums, I'm like, I don't know if that, like, to me, it didn't really look like, from what I would say, I would want a wedding backdrop. This, I looked at it on my jaw dropped. I was like,
it's very elegant.
It's elegant. It's beautiful. The chandelier that they have on the ceiling is like a magic swirl. It's breathtaking. They have a balcony. There's a stage there that they do different activities and whatnot during the day. But there's also a balcony overlooking that stage where characters come and like wave and welcome you onto the ship. So when you first enter the ship, this is your first taste of the ship.
Now, I do want to say, so Teresa, you have not been on
a
cruise before.
Never have I been on a cruise.
Producer James and I have been on two cruises. One we went on through Carnival, and one we went on through Norwegian. And we are going on another one in August, which is Royal Caribbean, but have not done a Disney cruise yet. One of the cool things that they do on a Disney cruise, if anybody's seen videos, they've seen this, is when you come on board, they announce your family's name, which none of the cruise ships I've ever been on has done that. But this hall is it's called the Grand Hall, and this is really neat. A few times throughout the voyage, it has a pixie dusting, which twinkly sparkles climb the three-story columns and animate the wishing star chandelier. So that just sounds amazing. Like, I love stuff like that. And the fact that you can come in and there's a stage, like Teresa was saying, that they do some performances on. The person who's hanging, each of the Disney cruise ships has a character that kind of hangs off the back of the ship. And this one was who?
Rapunzel.
So there is a balcony in this Grand Hall that Rapunzel and Flynn Rider come out on and hang out from time to time. Of course, there is a golden statue of Cinderella in the lobby with... What's the deal with the
cat? Lucifer.
See, I don't remember
Lucifer the cat. And the best thing about this is, of course, right, it's Disney. They don't just, here's our one beautiful statue. It's Lucifer and he's got his cup. So there's a Lucifer statue behind Cinderella. And if you walk around the statue, you can see the two of the mice, I believe it's Jack, and Gus, that are kind of peeking out from under her dress because they're hiding from Lucifer the cat. I thought that was such a cool, such a fun little detail. They also have a nod to the live action version, and they have Cinderella's glass slipper in a display case in this grand atrium area as well.
So two of the other areas or another area that they have is they have two cinemas on board. So they have the Wonderland and the Neverland cinemas. And so these show the latest Disney movies. So two theaters means more options for guests than on previous ships. There's only been one. So in each of them, the Wonderland one has a lot of Alice in Wonderland theming and stuff in it.
But such and the fun things.
And the Peter Pan one has the Neverland.
So, but like such fun, such clever things. So there's, for instance, in the Wonderland theater, the lights on the wall to help kind of like show, you know, when the lights need to come on, they're Cheshire cats. And then the back sides of the seats are cards, like playing cards from there. Same type of thing in the Neverland. The lights on the wall are Tinkerbell, and her wings light up. And then on the back of the chairs, they have Peter and the Darling Children kind of like
their shadows
flying through. It's their shadows. So not only is it just fun, like just beautiful, it's a theater. You're sitting there in the dark, but they went through and they did all of these extra special touches and special details. Speaking of theaters, the Walt Disney Theater is where all of the big live Broadway style shows go on. It has two balconies. The shows that they have are Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, and Disney Sees the Adventure. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It's more elegant, so you kind of feel like it's you know, like a fancier theater type thing, but just gorgeous.
Yeah, every cruise ship I've ever been on, they've had theaters for like Broadway performances, and this theater looks amazing. And of course, Walt Disney themed, so that's awesome.
The other cool thing too is when you look at the seating inside, it doesn't look like there's a bad seat in the house. The whole thing is angled, so you're not, even if you sit behind a tall person, there's enough of a slope that's probably, they're not going to be in your way too much. And the seats look look very cozy. They don't look like you're crammed in there on top of each other. It looks like a very enjoyable, relaxing experience. For those of the smaller Voyagers, they do have the Disney Oceaneer Club, which is like the kids club. But I'm sad that this is only open to kids, because there is a really cool area in the Oceaneer Club that I would be so excited to experience. But they have an Imagineer area where you can design your own attractions, and then you get to ride them virtually.
I thought they had something like that at Disney Quest before, but obviously this one's probably way better.
Perhaps, but it's just so, so cool. One of the entrances into the Oceaneers Club is once you get your kids checked in, they can actually enter the club through a slide. Instead of just, you know, right?
I mean,
walking through a door is just boring. We need a slide so they get to drop in on the excitement and fun.
I tell you, man, you know, we were talking earlier about Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. I feel like they need to have an adult's version of this kids area, because that is so cool sounding.
Part of the kids area also includes Fairy Tale Hall, where you get to interact with different princesses and all that kind of stuff. There's, of course, a Star Wars cargo bay. So a Star Wars immersive themed play area for them too. I mean, it looks
Marvel too.
Yep, a Marvel themed area. It's very cool, very immersive, super, super cool. Yeah, the Marvel area is called the Superhero Academy. And I want to say they get to design, I think they get to design superhero outfits in the Marvel.
I mean, how cool is that?
The Marvel area. But yeah, super cool. Of course, way more fun stuff for kids too, but that's just kind of the highlights.
For like the little kids, there's Mickey and Minnie's Captain's Deck, which is like meant for like even younger sailors on the ship.
And then also It's a Small World Nursery,
which looks very,
for
very
babysitting and child care services for infants and toddlers.
Yeah, how cool.
Which is also absolutely adorable.
Let's talk about where people are going to stay. I think that'll be the next thing that we should talk about. So there is a lot of cool designs and stuff at these different staterooms. The one I want to start with, we're going to start with the crazy stuff and go towards the normal stuff, I think. The craziest one is there is a suite inside one of the smokestacks, basically, of the Disney Wish. It's the front one. There's a balcony. It's multiple stories. I can't even imagine.
I want to say I watched a couple YouTube videos and about, you know, tours of this. And I want to say that this big suite, so it's a two-story suite, and it's the first suite inside of a funnel or like the smokestacks on a cruise ship. And it's breathtaking.
Oh,
it's beautiful, beautiful. But it has three bedrooms, a living room, a kitchenette, four bathrooms, and I mean, breathtaking views.
Well, you're basically at the top of the ship getting wide-angle views.
And there's these big windows so you can, you know, see it out. And,
you see this bathroom?
Just gorgeous.
The bathroom is the size of, like, five staterooms, like normal-sized staterooms. It's huge. It's got a double vanity, a tub, and a glass shower. Oh.
Yep, and this this two-story suite is themed to Moana. So, and it's very like elegantly themed to Moana. Yes. So very nice, subtle hints. They do, of course, there is a Moana statue and there is a Maui statue as well. But very, very beautiful, very, very elegant. There's also a two-bedroom princess suites that is also there is also a two-floor version of this and a single of four, and also just stunning.
So looking at this picture, you wouldn't know this, but I watched this on a YouTube video. So there in one of the bathrooms for the two bedroom suites, there is these windows that look out onto the ocean, and the shower and the bathtub are right there. And you're thinking, I don't see any blinds. Are you just hoping that nobody is next to you when you're taking a shower or a bath or anything? No, there's a button on the wall that you hit and it frosts the windows.
That's neat.
Isn't that cool?
That's very neat.
They've got spiral staircases in these for the two-story one. There is a private hot tub with huge verandas, which veranda on a cruise ship is a fancy way of saying balcony. So cool.
I mean,
we'll never be able to afford one of these, but it's amazing.
I think if I ever was able to afford one of these, I'd have a hard time leaving because it's just so beautiful.
Yes.
But there's so many. But, I mean, amazing. There are so many amazing, amazing, cool things to do on this ship. I do want to point out, though, if you take a look at the link in our show notes, Mice Chat had a really, really beautiful photos and a really nicely done article to showcase.
Comprehensive.
Yep, to showcase everything that we're talking about. So that's a great place to go if you want to see what these rooms look like and get an idea of what this ship is. Of course, there's also videos on YouTube. But the thing that I'm just like blown away by is the artwork in all of these. In the Princess Suite, there's what looks to be a stained glass panel of Briar Rose in the forest. Beautiful. In the staterooms, instead of having a headboard, they have these murals that are themed to different princesses. I've seen one. I want to say I've seen a couple now. I've seen a Cinderella one. I've seen a Princess and the Frog themed one. And then the rest of the room also is kind of themed to that. So, for instance, the one that's Princess and the Frog themed, it's got the Princess and the Frog mural, but then like different colors and elements within that room are kind of like the greens and the pinks, subtle, and then there's more artwork for like further in the room that also is reflective of the movie. But they're breathtaking. If I could buy this artwork, I would. It's so cool.
I will say, judging by the pictures, and who knows with the picture, but of the couple ships that I've been on, we've did a porthole room one of the times, and we did an interior stateroom another time. And these rooms do look like they're pretty spacious. They've done a really good job with the layout, where they don't look too compact or too busy or anything like that. They look really good. I think a lot of that is the use of like lighter colors and lighter wood accents and stuff in the rooms. So it kind of makes it feel more open. Love it.
Beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
Let's talk about the, of course, people always want to talk about the spa. So there's a Senses Spa, which has intimate relaxation rooms, locker rooms, a steam room, treatment rooms, just everything. Looks really amazing, like a typical kind of spa. But one of the most amazing things is this rainforest room that is connected to Senses Spa, which looks like you are in a rainforest. Mm-hmm. The walls have foliage on them. There's all of these amazing, you know, there's not a lot of like hard lines. It's all very soft. There's some seating and stuff that has all, I don't know, it just looks amazing. And you feel like you're outdoors, but you're indoors.
Just looking at these photos is relaxing. I can't imagine what it's like to be in that space. I'm sure it's just oh so very relaxing.
Yes, definitely.
For those of you that want to make sure that you're working off all of the extra calories that you are consuming when we get to our next portion about restaurants, there is also a very, very nice looking gym that has all like tons of equipment. The cool thing too is a lot of it's set up, like the treadmills and such are set up looking out windows, so you're not just feeling like you're in like a dark back corner while you're getting your workout in.
Because who wants to feel like that?
No, especially the thing that I think is really cool about this is they're really utilizing what's around them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, the things that when you can't be seen outside and looking out into the ocean, it's just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about food. Because, of course, one of the biggest things that people talk about on cruise ships is food. So on Deck 12, which is towards the top, they have the Premium Dining District. So this is going to have all of the like fancier restaurants.
Yes, and it's the adult dining district. So it's all sorts of, you know, this is an adults only section. So these are great for date nights. This is a good excuse to have your kids go hang out at the kids club, the Oceaneer, go build their own little roller coasters while you can have a relaxing date night. But the first one we're going to talk about is called The Rose, which not even going in there, the theming is beautiful just as you walk up, because they have the enchanted rose and the magic mirror is what greets you as you go into this space. Very, that very elegant.
Looks amazing.
It just looks so relaxing. It's kind of more of a lounge. Like a lounge. So there is a bar area, lots of chairs, big comfy looking chairs. Again, they're utilizing
the view
what is around them, and they've got these big floor to ceiling windows so you can look out and enjoy the view. The ceiling though is really cool, because the ceiling actually has this like rose pattern design on it, so it almost looks like you're underneath a giant rose flower. It's just very, very beautiful.
So there's the, is it Palo? Mm-hmm. Palo Steakhouse. So this is familiar to anybody who's been on a Disney cruise ship. It's on all of the different ships. But this one's been reimagined as a steakhouse inspired by Cogsworth. So, of course, we have this whole theme of Beauty and the Beast, right? It does offer the Italian dishes you expect, along with American prime beef cuts. But the theming and everything is just kind of with Cogsworth from Beast's Castle. So kind of a neat idea there. And then, of course, you can't have Cogsworth without Lumiere.
Of course not. So next up is Enchanté, which is the signature dining experience. Oh, so Enchanté, which is themed, of course, to Lumiere. So it's the Wishes version of Remy, which is the signature dining experience on the Disney Dream and Fantasy ships. But this is the most most elegant dining experience from a three Michelin-starred chef. Superior and seasonal ingredients. They're sourced from around the world, including the chef's own home garden located in Ohio, which is like amazing. But again, the theming inside of it's just is breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. I mean, even the menu is just a work of art in and of its own. They've got these just gorgeous chandeliers. Gorgeous, gorgeous, just gorgeous. I don't even know how to describe it. You gotta look at the pictures.
Link in the show notes, people. Go look at the link in the show notes or watch some YouTube videos. So moving on, we have more of an area that's for the family instead of just adults only. So we have Mickey and Friends Festival of Foods, which is by the pool deck, and it includes Mickey's Smokestack Barbecue, Donald's Cantina, Daisy's Pizza Pies, Goofy's Grill, and Sweet Minnie's Ice Cream. So this is the first time that barbecue and Mexican food are offered as options on the Disney quick service location for the cruise line. Amazing. It's also where you'll find the unlimited sauce.
I was going to say, so this would be like a great place for you to grab like lunches. I want to say that they do like breakfast here as well. So nice quick, or if you need a snack, great quick service area. To stop by. It's kind of like a food court a little bit. And then next up is the Marcelin Market, which is inspired by global food markets. Also a walk-up style eatery, and it replaces typical cabana buffets. So there's 10 food stations at this cafe style, or at this location, and there's a beverage bar located in the center. It is a rotational menu, so they do change throughout your voyage. So you'll find things there like seafood, comfort foods, baked items, classic American fare, vegetarian options, soups, salad, and also at night the eatery is converted to a table service. Ooh, dinner as well.
That's fancy that it goes from that to that. If you have a sweet tooth, there's the Inside Out Joyful Sweets, which has...
This is nuts.
Yeah, 40 flavors of gelato and ice cream are available here, including handmade toppings such as whipped cream, fruit compotes, and sauces. You'll also find themed baked goods and packaged candy. Oh my goodness, I feel like I am going to be diabetic just looking at the pictures.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel full, and we're not even eating at these places. It's just like, man, wow. On other, I believe other Disney cruise ships do this as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you do, for your evening, so for your dinner meal, you do rotate through the different restaurants. So the first restaurant, or the first dining experience, I should say, that we're going to talk about is themed to Frozen. It's Arendelle Frozen Dining Adventure. So it's Disney's first ever Frozen-themed restaurant, and it's a theatrical dining experience. Ooh. There's a central stage that offers really great views for everyone at their different tables. And the show revolves around Anna and Kristoff's engagement party. And of course, Elsa, Anna, Olaf, Kristoff, Wandering Oaken, they're all there. So the menu offers cuisine with Nordic influences.
Ooh, I like the idea of like a show with your meal.
The theming in this is incredible. Absolutely incredible. It looks like when you first enter, it's like this, looks like this, like the outside of a building. So it's like this, like
stone
with the wooden carved looking sign. And then as you enter, you're walking down the hallway. And if you pay attention, a lot of the portraits in the hallway will look familiar. If you're a fan of the first Frozen movie, there's portraits that were portrayed in the first movie when Anna's like singing basically about being cooped up and bored. Sure. And she's like singing to the different, it's the Do You Want to Build a Snowman song when she's like kind of interacting with the different portraits. Oh. Some of those portraits are in this hallway, but it's just absolutely beautiful.
So another one of the themed entertainment dining options is Worlds of Marvel. So this one is themed to Ant-Man and the Wasp hosting a demo of a superhero technologies. So an interactive quantum core sits at each dining table for you to contribute to shrinking and growing of items. And of course, things go awry. So the menu is inspired by the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including dishes based on real and fictional settings such as Wakanda, Sokovia, and of course, New York City. And there's one of the pictures here of a cast member bringing out a giant cookie.
If you look at another picture, there's a giant Mickey bar
being
carried around by another one of the cast members. Whew. Just so fun. So, so fun. 1923 is another dining venue on board. It is not themed entertainment, just a regular dining. But it's split into two different dining areas. You have the Walt Disney and the Roy Disney dining areas. But they offer a more intimate seating rather than, you know, one big large dining room. The tables there are surrounded by over 800 pieces of artwork and artifacts, including a 24 multiplane camera and cell setups. Ooh. So, I mean, this sounds like an us being Disney nerds. Like, what a cool experience. But they serve classic California dishes, so they're light, fresh, and flavorful. Table service breakfast is also served there throughout the voyage.
So I have to talk about this. I know it's not one of the main dining things, but I feel like there's been so much talk about this, I have to talk about it.
Oh, yes.
So there's the Star Wars Hyperspace Lounge, which is located right next to the Princess and the Frog-themed lounge, which also looks amazing, by the way. Star Wars Hyperspace Lounge is open to families during the day and is adult-exclusive at night. So it's kind of like a small piece of the Galactic Star Cruiser, basically, offering a more luxurious setting. Now, the big hubbub about this one is this signature cocktail. There's a few signature cocktails. There's one that's like $250 there. But the big one is this $5,000 option. And I did find a tweet, and I wanted to find it really quick here because they actually talked about it. Okay, so the name of the drink is called the Kyber Crystal. And you get to keep the glasses that the drink comes in. And so it's this whole crazy thing. Let me see if I can explain what this is so you guys can. It is crazy. So first of all, it comes out, if you are Star Wars fans, it comes out. So in the original Empire Strikes Back movie, there was a guy running around Cloud City with, the prop was an ice cream machine, but it was supposed to look like a safe or something like
that. Yeah, and you can buy them now in Galaxy's Edge.
So this drink, this Kyber Crystal drink, comes in one of these, and you press a button or you twist this thing, and it opens up and hisses, and steam comes out and all this stuff, and you have this drink. So according to aboutthemeparks.fun, they talked to a bartender, and they said that the beverage is primarily made with, is it Camus Cognac? It also includes Japanese citrus fruit yuzu as well as kumquat. And since you can never have enough cognac, it also features Grand Marnier Quintessence, which is considerably pricier than the Camus Cognac. And then they add shots of ultra-expensive Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve 23-year bourbon and Taylor's Fladgate Kingsman Edition Very Old Tawny Port. The glasses that you get to keep are silver plated. At the end, you get amenities delivered to your staterooms, including flowers and personalized sparkling wine from Skywalker Vineyards, the estate owned by George Lucas. You can also check out the grapes that made the wine because the $5,000 package includes a visit to the vineyard, which is located in Marin County, California.
Oh, wow. But did you see that last part? Tours are not otherwise available to the public. So if visiting Skywalker Ranch is on your bucket list, this would be a way to be able to do it. That's crazy.
So crazy. I like the theming of this thing, but oh my goodness, I don't know how many people are gonna do it. Now people were we're trying to figure out what this drink was, so the fact that somebody got a bartender to talk about what was in it, big deal.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Would you pay $5,000 for
it? No, I would not pay $5,000 for a beverage. I do think it's cool that you get, you know, it's more than just the beverage. I don't know if I would need to keep the glasses, but I think it's neat that you also get, like, something, you know, you get goodies sent to your stateroom in addition to it, but then also you're getting a tour of the vineyard. So I guess I shouldn't say no, I wouldn't pay $5,000 for a drink, because it is more than just a drink, but still, that just seems...
It's a lot of money.
I mean, two people, that's $10,000 right there.
So... When it comes and opens up, I think that... What did we decide, James? Was there like four or five shots in there?
Yeah, so it's not per person.
No, so it was... I think it comes out with like five shot glasses and stuff, but still.
That's pretty spendy.
Are we done with food?
I do think the atmosphere, though, is very, very fun, very neat. So I wouldn't go there for this crazy expensive beverage, but I would definitely try something else. It looks like the bartenders do different things and play with like dry ice and like have all sorts. It's very, very cool, very out of this world. But speaking of other places, like you mentioned, there is the Bayou.
This looks gorgeous, by
Beautiful.
The way.
Beautiful. The Bayou is a Princess and Frog themed inspired 18 and above lounge. And it sits beside in the luxury shopping district. And this, it looks very luxury. There is a stage that hosts live entertainment and musical performances of themed cocktails, specialty coffees, and fresh beignets.
So on the videos I saw on YouTube, people were walking by this but wouldn't say what it was, because what makes this so stand out is when you're walking through the shopping district, there is, again, plants and stuff as the ceiling in this area.
Yeah.
And so as people are walking around, it's gorgeous. What is this area with all of the plants on the ceiling? So amazing.
Absolutely gorgeous. There is also one last place called Nightingale, which is a piano bar with inspired touches from Sing Sweet Nightingale, which of course was a song that the evil stepsisters tried very, very hard to perform in Cinderella. But it does lean more towards the part where Cinderella's cleaning and there's the bubbles are flying up as she's singing, and then she kind of like does like a melody with herself versus the evil stepsisters.
Sure.
But anyways, there is a bubble chandelier, specialty bubble beverages, and it looks really, really cool.
We ready to move on to some entertainment?
More entertainment, yes.
Well, yeah, some more entertainment kind of options. So the big thing that everybody's going to notice when they see the Disney Wish for the first time is, of course, the Aqua Mouse, which, similar to the Dream and Fantasy where they have the Aqua Duck, this Aqua Mouse is considered the first ever attraction at sea. So before there was the same kind of thing, but this one actually is considered like a full-on attraction.
Yeah, yeah.
And what makes it that is you're basically joining Mickey and Minnie on an animated adventure. So you get in a two-person raft, and you basically go up like a lift tunnel, but there's a story going on around you. And then you get to the top, and you kind of move around, and there's water effects and video synchronized with an original musical score. Like the Aqueduct, the thing that's cool about this is there's a section of the tunnel that you go out, and it's clear, and you can kind of see over the edge. And this looks kind of amazing to me. I don't know if I'd want to wait forever to be on this, but I think it would be quite an experience.
I think
it'd
be fun. The one thing that we did notice, Vern and I watched a video, it seemed like the lift till and the actual ride itself were about the same amount of time. So it's it's not a very long ride, but it does look very fun and, of course, cute themed. It gave me a lot of feels of like Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, because it's that same animation style and kind of those same like zany antics that they get themselves into. And so, of course, instead of a runaway train this time, I think the snow is melting, and so you're like on this like water raft ride through the melting snow stuff. Anyways, it looked really fun. The other cool stuff too is there is a Quiet Cove, which is the adult exclusive pool and bar, but there's of course lounging seats, a whirlpool, but there's infinity pools on this
cool.
I think that'd be so much fun to be. I think there's two. I want to say there's two infinity pools total on this, and also there's a Quiet Cove Cafe, which I would be hanging out at because they've got specialty coffees as well as alcoholic beverages for an upcharge. But the cafe features artwork and decor themed to Moana. Apparently, it might be a little difficult to find, so don't hesitate to ask a crew member to help point you in the right direction to make sure you get to it. So it's like a hidden, like, need-to-know
kind of place. Ooh, makes it even more kind of fancy. So in the shopping area, there's a couple things we just wanted to quickly talk about. One is that there's the Untangled Salon, which is Rapunzel-themed for adults, like salon for adults, where you can get hairstyling, manicures, pedicures, that kind of thing. There's Hook's Barbary, which is, of course, themed after Captain Hook, which offers hairstyling, nail and skincare treatments for men. You can also have whiskey, bourbon, and rums while you're there if you're 21 and older, so it's very Captain Hook piratey feeling. And then, of course, you can talk about the last one here.
Oh, and there is the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique for the little ones if they want to have a relaxing and experience and get made up themselves into princes and princesses. So
and pirates and
oh,
knights.
And pirates and knights. There you go.
And Captain Minnie or Captain Mickey.
Ooh, even cooler.
That is cooler. That is neat. I didn't even know that they did that. So
did I talk about the Wishing Star Cafe?
You did not.
Because there's, of course, leave it to me to find all the coffee. But there's also a Wishing Star Cafe. They offer pressed juices, cocktails, wines, and espresso beverages. And the thing that's so cool is there's just these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mosaics that are displayed near the cafe. One is of Figaro and Cleo in her bowl. So, of course, Figaro the cat, Cleo the goldfish from Pinocchio. And then the other was of Geppetto and Pinocchio. And they're just stunning. Again, the artwork, the attention to detail, just incredible.
Now, does this make you want to go on a Disney cruise?
100%. I mean, I was already sold to go on to a Disney cruise because they just seemed so cool when we talked. We talked, if you remember, I don't remember what episode it was, but last year we talked with Kate and talked about her experience on her Halloween cruise. Now, of course, it was a little bit different because of restrictions that were in place, but it still sounded so, so magical. But this just looks like it's like they plussed their regular cruises.
Episode
208 and 209.
Yes.
Because it was a two-part episode, but I just, incredible. I do want to give a shout out because I think this is so amazing, but we happen to know two people that were involved with this. Evan, who we had talk with us back on episodes 190 and 191, we talked with Evan, who is a Disney designer and artist. Some of Evan's artwork is actually on the cruise. He did different things, I want to say, for like the christening ceremony and like different things throughout the ship. So that was very, very cool. And then also, weekly tier and listener Ellie wrote in when we talked to her back on episode 199. She was not a cast member, but she is now a cast member on the Disney Wish. So her wish came true, and she is living her best life on
her
the Disney
wish. Came true. Ha, ha, ha.
Yes. I'm just so happy for her, and I'm so happy for Evan. I think it's so, so cool that we know two people that were involved in making this beautiful, beautiful experience come to life for so many guests, and congratulations to both of them. We only hope that someday soon we can come and experience the magic for ourselves, because it looks incredible.
I also want to take this moment to point out that if you are considering a Disney cruise, contact your friends over at Concierge, because again, it doesn't cost anything extra to go through them, and they can get you set up on the Disney Wish or one of the other Disney cruise ships if you're interested in that. But you can find them at concierge.com.
Of course, that was only a taste of the Disney cruise. There are different things and excursions that you get to do while you're on your cruise, depending on where you're going, things like Castaway K. But there's also all sorts of other entertainment. We didn't even like go through all the different like shows and fun. And yeah, just tons and tons of things to do. This was just, yeah, to give everyone a taste, build up the excitement so that you guys can be as excited as we are about this, because it just looks amazing. So and if you get to go on the Disney Wish sometime soon, write in. Tell us what
pictures,
you think.
Pictures.
Photos. We're so jealous and we're so excited for you.
It's okay. I'll be the only weekly tier without an answer. Make sure you send your questions to Producer James or Producer Vern at trivia@doweekly.net.
Well, ahoy there. Welcome back to Trivia Land.
Oh my goodness. You were like a Disney land. You are in theme the whole way.
I have dreams of being a Jungle Cruise skipper, so I figure maybe I start with the cruise skipper language as we go through this.
My nightmare.
What can I say? It's just a wish I have.
You know, a dream is a wish your heart makes.
There you go.
Are you trying to work the name of the ship into things?
Yes. You seriously didn't get that until now? Oh, dear Lord.
I used all my thinking on the trivia questions.
I guess so.
Well, let's carry on with this not-so-maiden voyage.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, all right. Let's go on to our answers for this week's trivia questions. Our first one from listener Andy M. In the stretching room, all four portraits show individuals holding things. And to clarify, before the portrait stretch, they were holding things. What's being held? I'll give you both half a point on this one. You got two right, and you are well on your way to the others. A parasol or umbrella, a rose, a piece of paper or a speech, and another person.
Well, hold on, sir. Hold on, sir.
Yep.
I am looking at a photo right now. The left hand of the gentleman on the dynamite is holding a piece of paper, but his right hand is holding his jacket.
Oh,
wow. Okay, well, that gets you 3 out of 4, so
where
we're
we
still going to give you...
I want to see the stretch, like where...
Oh, like what it is before?
Yeah, because I don't understand what the hat guy is holding. What's the not stretch? What's the unstretched stretching room?
It's like right here.
So what is the hat guy holding?
Nothing. He said another person, but the person's below the stretching part. Right, James?
Sure.
Oh, there's the woman. Not stretched.
Hold on. We gotta find the... here we go. The unstretched versions.
And I'm glad this is a week of...
Himself.
...of me making a disclaimer that you can't trust us.
That you can't trust us.
Oh, look. It's the version from the Muppets. Here you go.
Oh, yeah, so he's just like has his arms crossed.
He just has his arms crossed.
Well, he's not holding his
hat.
I
think we get full credit.
Full? We said he was holding his hat.
Okay. But
so
three out of four, you get half a point?
3 out of 4.
Is that half a point then?
Half a point. I make the rules here.
All right.
Question number 2. What is the significance of the Carthay Circle Theater in Disney history? Teresa, right on the money on this one. The theater at which Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs first premiered Disney's first full-length animated feature.
Woohoo!
Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 3. Tay got this one right really quickly. I'm surprised, honestly. I thought this one might be a thinker. What is the name of the short-lived land that included attractions such as Scrooge's Vault and Baloo's Dressing Room? As I spoiled, Disney Afternoon Avenue. Right on, Tay.
Bam.
And our final question in DCA on the Inside Out emotional whirlwind. Each ride vehicle is themed to a character from the movie. Ryan J. wanted to know how many ride vehicles are there and what character is depicted on each one. There are 8. Joy, sadness, disgust, fear, anger, Bing Bong, Rainbow Unicorn.
That's her name.
And the Forgetters, also known as the Memory Workers. Teresa, I'm going to accept the blue blobs that do all that long-term memory stuff.
Very, is that these guys? What is this?
Very well done.
They're the little... They're the ones that find the memory of the gum. I don't remember what the brand of the gum is.
Because it was...
Keep sending that memory back
up. Because it's like the jingle, right?
Yeah, the gum jingle.
Oh, my goodness.
Bing bong, bing bong.
Man! High five, Teresa. That was a good one.
And so, you know, I'm holding back from making a joke about how this was almost a perfect day at Castaway Key. The pain.
Too bad it's not a video, so you could all see Tag's look.
Well, what a wonderful week of trivia for the two of them. I hope you had just as much luck and are feeling just as good as TNT are right now for getting most of those right. If you want to participate in helping us ask questions for Tag and Teresa, you know where to find us, Producer Vern, and my email is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we'll be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
Until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.